Good afternoon. So the question I'm going to explore for the next 4 to 5 minutes is, how do rain gardens alter urban hydrology? And specifically, I'm going to focus on small-scale, unlined rain gardens like we see in the picture in the bottom right. And so the study site I'm going to be talking about today is a 40-square-meter rain garden installed in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. It was put in early 2015 in an abandoned, vacant lot in the city. It was excavated directly into the native soil, and a subdrain was put in to connect that back to the combined sewer system. And then 3 soil layers are put in, an aggregate base, a sand layer, and then a bioengineered soil on top. And so as part of our monitoring efforts, we collected inflow rates into this rain garden, so the amount of water coming off the street into that rain garden. We were measuring precipitation and potential evapotranspiration. And then we had 20 locations around the neighborhood, around this sewer shed, where we're measuring groundwater levels, including the 2 sites we see here in the orange stars, CU43 and CU44. So really close to this rain garden in question. And so to jump into some results, this is a 1-month period in June and July of 2014. We have our precipitation in blue here, and then we have our water level elevation in this nearest well, CU43. And so we see over this 30-day period that basically the water table is more or less constant. There's a little bit of diurnal variation, but it's not really responding to any of this rainfall events. In contrast, in 2015, after that rain garden was installed, we see again, if my arrow shows up, we see some about the same magnitude of precipitation, but this time in blue. This time we also see in orange, this is inflow from the street, stormwater coming in from the street. And in this case, we look at the gray line, which again is water table elevation. We see there's this mounding response. There's this rapid response where groundwater in that nearest well mounds up between 30 and 40 centimeters. So this suggests that there is some kind of hydrological response post-rain garden installation. And then understand these dynamics a little bit better. I've been working to model the system using Hydrus, and so basically this is a 2-dimensional vertical transect through the rain garden and encompassing these 2 nearby wells. If we zoom in, we can see, again, we have our native soil represented by a couple of layers, and then we have 3 layers within the rain garden and a subdrain underneath that's transporting water back into the sewer system. And so to quickly look at some of the data from this, here in the orange is the observed water level from that nearest well, CU43, and then blue would be the Hydrus predictions of water table elevation at that same location. And so early on in the winter of 2013, the model's capturing those dynamics more or less, getting the gist of it. In the summer of 2014, before that rain garden went in, we see there's a divergence that the water table in actuality stayed relatively elevated, whereas the Hydrus model showed this decline of about 2 meters. I think there's some reasons for this, which I can discuss maybe later. But then after the rain garden was installed this time right here, it seems like the Hydrus model is maybe capturing those dynamics a little bit better insofar as it's responding to water coming into that rain garden, infiltrating and causing this mounding process. And so to quickly summarize, these results are suggesting that this small-scale rain garden is effective at infiltrating some of the stormwater from the street. Our data suggests that this operation of the rain garden may be causing some localized groundwater mounting, but to date, not enough to flood anybody's basement. And this is a big concern for the sewer district. They're willing to experiment with rain gardens as a way to basically buffer out that peak flow through their sewer system, but they're not going to do it if there's any risk of causing any kind of property damage. And so far, Hydrus is giving us the means to try to model this system. And the nice thing about having a calibrated model is then we can ask some questions and perform some scenarios, things like what happens if we change the properties of that bioengineered soil? What does that mean for infiltration rates, water table response? What happens if we get a 10-year storm or a 100-year storm? What does that mean for our water table dynamics? And what happens if we start putting in a lot of these rain gardens around? Does that start getting into a situation where we might be concerned about flooding happening? And so with that.